Sorry is right. He snatched the flask and threw it behind the shed. He glared at Vika. Get these people some water. Now. Smirking, Vika ambled off, Jabe in tow. Orin sighed. His daughter had the amiable attitude that Mullen lacked, but her interest in others was a centimeter deep. Both his children had missed the empathy ship. It fell to him as usual. Orin knelt before the young farmer and his infant. You all right? Teleco spoke quickly and excitedly.
Yeah, I'm amazed you got here so fast.
There was some luck. My hands and I were working the towers on the West Range when you activated the settler's call. We were halfway here before the folks at the Oasis even got to their speeders. Orin knew there was luck, true, but also good design. This was how it was supposed to work. When a homestead activated the call, everyone in this part of the desert moved. If settlers were armed and had a ride, they followed the sirens to trouble. If not, they mustered at the Pika Oasis, where guns and vehicles were garaged behind Danar's claim, the area's general store. The alarm at the activating location had a different sound from the others, but all started with something calculated to spook any Tusken. The recorded howl of a crate dragon. That had been Orin's favorite touch.
Well, it's a wonderful thing, sir. Worth every credit.
Orin smiled humbly. Tell your friends. It's for all of us, really.
Her dad, Lotho, never wanted to buy into it, but...
The young man broke off and looked away. He clutched the baby tighter.
You forget about all that, Orin said. But I want you to remember something for me, if you can. The Tuskens. What can you tell me?
Teleco looked to him urgently.
Oh, it was Plug Eye, all right. No mistaking it. Where the right eye was?
Right from where you're looking?
Teleco pointed to his right eye. No, this eye. It shines.
Orin started. What, like a cybernetic? That sounded absolutely crazy.
No, sir. More like a crystal. It caught the light when I looked. And I couldn't take my eyes off it.
He shivered in the suns. Scared the life out of me.
I don't doubt it.
Orin scratched his chin. Anything else? The young farmer paused.
The robes were different, I guess. No bandolier. But really, I was so focused on the eye.
Orin stood and patted Teleco on the back. Forget it, son. Now let's get you and Tyler taken care of. And Aline will put you up at the claim as long as you need. Orin watched as the farmer and child departed. Mullen stepped to his father's side.
Any help?
Nope.
Mullen sneered.
And he had a shot at Plug Eye and didn't take it.
I don't think that boy would know his blaster from his spanner. Orin looked behind him and chuckled.
Now, where's that flask?
Vika and Jabe walked up from the house.
I thought you didn't want me to drink this early.
Vika said.
You make me drink, Orin said.
He turned to look at Jabe, fresh-faced and thrilled to be here. The boy was the age his Varan, Vika's twin, had been 5 years earlier, when tragedy struck. It was one reason Orin had taken him onto his maintenance crew. Jabe was a sunny presence. But Orin knew what awaited the kid at home.
Boy, when your mother finds out I let you go out with the posse, they'll need to make room for me on the pyre beside the Tuskens.
Vika opened the maintenance hatch on her sporty land speeder.
You want to hide back here, Runt? You'll just fit.
Jay blushed at the teasing.
It won't be that bad, he said.
Oh, yes, it will.
Orin stared at the kid. You'll be begging the Jawas to adopt you. He stepped forward and clapped his hands twice loudly.
That's it, people. Good job here. Back to the Oasis. Drinks at Danar's claim.
Chapter 3.
The old Nikto woman plopped a bolt of cloth on the counter.
Do you work here?
Standing behind the counter, Annalene Calwell didn't look up from her datapad. No, I come in here and do inventory in my spare time. A moment passed before Annalene suddenly froze.
Wait, she said, eyes widening as she took in her surroundings.
Counter cash box title deed.
With a look of alarm, Annalene turned abruptly to the alabaster-skinned customer.
I'm sorry. I guess I do work here.
It was a game they'd played every day since Herbaly Napti's first visit to the store. Except that, for the Nikto woman, it wasn't a game. Herbaly had never once remembered who Annalene was. For a while, Annalene had thought the alien simply couldn't distinguish among humans. Eventually, she figured out that Herbaly just didn't care. And so their game began. That had been 11 standard years ago. The shrivel-faced alien clicked her tongue with impatience.
Now, see this?
Her withered white finger jabbed at the fabric.
Do you know why this costs so much?
No, Annalene said, smiling primly. Why?
The Nikto's cracked lips pursed. She started to say something more, but Annalene stopped her.
Just a second. They need me in the cantina.
Her apron whirled as Annalene spun and walked the meter and a half to where her sundries counter turned into a bar. She picked up a glass that a sleeping prospector had knocked over and then returned to Herbaly.
I'm back, she said.
The Nikto woman tapped her foot.
Is there someone else here I can talk to?
Now there, I can help you, Annalene said. After setting the glass in a basin, she stepped out through a gap in the long counter and walked to one of the back tables, where a green-snouted Rhodian huddled silently over his morning calf. Annalene clapped her hand on his shoulder, an act that he seemed not to notice in the least.
This is Bomer, she said.
Herbaly studied him.
Does he work here?
We don't know,
Annalene said. But he's here an awful lot.
Thank you just the same.
The elderly Nikto sniffed disdainfully and headed for the front door.